My name is Cindy Welch. I'm 54 years old. Today is July 14th, 2018, and I'm speaking with David and Clara Amin, who are my parents. We are recording this interview in Hopewell, Virginia. So tell me the story of how you met.
Well, I started. My brother Jimmy was cleaning a lot to build a home here in Mansion Hills. So we had cleared the lot, and we worked hard that day, had on old clothes, and we were driving from Mansion Hill to City Point, which is where we lived. On the way down, as we were driving down Broadway, I saw this pretty girl. I was home on leave from Annapolis. I said, "Who's that pretty girl? I've never seen her before." So I said, "Stop the car." So we stopped the car, and she went into a department store. And I told my sister, Adele, you know the people who work in that department store? She said, yes. I said, go in there and find out what her name is. So Adele went in the department store, and she saw the lady, the sales clerk who was waiting on Clara, and she knew her. She said, what's her name? She wrote it down, Clara Burry. She lives in Chester, Virginia. Adele came back, gave me that information. So that evening, I looked.
Wait, I heard there was a bet.
No, that later.
Oh, later. Okay, go ahead.
So that evening, I looked in the telephone directory, and I found her telephone number, and I called her, and I said, "May I speak to Clara?" She got on the phone. I said, "This is David Amy." No response. I said, "Did you hear what I said?" She said, "Yes." See, I was a gay blade, and everyone in Hope knew me. But she didn't live in Hope, she lived in Chester, so I forgive her. I said, "I know all your friends." So I proceeded to tell her all her friends that I knew. Clay, you take it from there.
All right, I answered the phone, and I thought, who in the world would be calling me to name David Amy? And I thought, well, this is pretty interesting. I'll at least talk to him. So I talked to him, and I said, "Well, how do you know me?" And he said, "Well, I know a lot of your friends." And I said, "So? Who are they?" And they told me Billy Davis and Kitty Graham. And I knew he wasn't friends with these people. I thought, what in the world is going on here? So anyway, he had done some research, I found out. And in the process, he was telling his cousin, George Rafey, that he was going to get a date with this girl across the river. And, you know, and George said, "You're crazy. She's not going to date you." "I'll bet she does." He said, "You've got it. $5, bet she's not going to date you." So I went home. I didn't answer that right away. And I went, because the phone was at Grandma's and I was over there. And I got home and I was telling my parents about it. My father looked at me like I had three heads and said, "You're going to go out with somebody you've never even heard of?" And my brother and the preacher happened to be there, and I said he wants to take me to the football game, and they spoke up and said, "Well, we're going to the game, so if she wants to date him, go ahead and date him."
We'll sit right behind them.
Yeah, right with clubs.
So that's how we met, and we double dated with Robert Lee and Elsie May Atkins.
Well, tell me what you thought the first time you saw him.
What I thought the first time I saw him,
Be careful.
I didn't think too much.
Didn't think too much.
I wasn't really bowled over.
Okay.
If you want to know.
I didn't wear my uniform.
Oh, right. Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, we went out on that date, and then he wanted to go out Sunday night to a movie, and I wouldn't dare tell my parents that was where we were going. Oh. We didn't go to movies on Sunday.
Mm-mm.
But we were going, it was the truth. We were going to Richmond to meet these friends, Joel
Irvin Joel.
Irvin Joel and his date, and we were going double date to a movie. Well, it was only a two-lane highway from Richmond to Hopewell in those days. And so we didn't get through the movie or get away from, we went to their house, and by the time we got away, it was midnight when we got home.
Oh. I'm in trouble. Oh. I'm in trouble.
That can't be good.
My father met me at the door.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And when I thought he was going to slap me, but he didn't. And when he left, he said, "You're not going out any more dates."
How old were you?
Oh, I'm in college.
Oh, wow.
So.
No more dates for a week.
Mm-hmm. You're grounded. Mm-hmm. Because he knew he was leaving in a week. He was going back to school. So I went over to my grandmother's and I told her my woe. That I told her what had happened, the reason we were late, and all this. So she, on my behalf, spoke to my dad and said, "I don't think it would be anything wrong with her, you know, date." So that, she saved me. She saved me the day.
Good. Good. So did y'all go out again that week before you left?
Then the night before I left, I did a coup de grace.
You wore your uniform.
Oh, my God.
I don't think that happened.
I did. I came to do it. I expected.
You don't remember that?
I expected you to watch her. She swooned.
But I do remember one thing very clearly. He was driving someone's convertible. I don't know whose. But it was a big country road, a stretch of country road. And a buzzard flew over his and scared the day. He hates buzzards.
I know he does. Oh.
And he followed him, and then the top was bound. And Dad said he wanted to get out and do the top, but he was scared to stop and get out and do the top.
The buzzard was following you? It must have known you were afraid.
Yeah, I always think of that when we see a buzzard.
That's so funny.
I said, "Oh, David, I see a buzzard up there," and he gets real angry with me.
For reminding you. Okay, well, that's a pretty interesting story. So what happened after that? You went back to where, Annapolis? And then how long were you before you graduated?
The whole year,
okay. Yeah, and that was your last year of Naval Academy.
The first weekend I went up there, we had this encounter with the magazine people in the soda shop. They don't have any liquor up in Annapolis. And then we went to the soda shop, and we were sitting in this booth, and somebody came up and said, "Hey, would you all move over and everybody sit together here? I'd like to take a picture." And so we didn't know the people, but we looked like we knew each other. They were smiling and laughing and talking. And the next thing we know, it comes out in the Saturday Evening Post.
What?
Excuse me.
Wow.
And that was our picture.
And that was 1949?
No, that...
Yeah,
49.
All right, let me tell you the rest of that story. Uncle George had gone over to Lebanon to find a wife. And he had met Nadia.
Okay.
And they were sitting in a bar, a restaurant. She had gone to the ladies' room. And he picked up a magazine, Saturday Evening Post. He flipped it up. He saw our picture.
Oh.
So he said, "Nadia, this is my cousin David." So she married him.
Was there a story or anything? What was the story about just the soda shop?
They were doing a write-up on Naval Academy.
On the Naval Academy,
A nice write-up.
Oh, interesting.
I got a copy of the picture.
Oh, I'm sure you do, yeah. Okay, so then what happened? You graduated.
I went to June week.
Okay.
They have a big affairs all during June week. And I went up as his date. And they had places for us to stay and everything, and we were out on a picnic. with Mort and
I took a sailing too.
Oh, that was a disaster after your time in France.
We
that must have been
be
a disaster.
Yeah.
Again, I'm towed in. Oh. I'm always towed in.
We became becalmed, and he didn't want to come in. And I said, look, it was late in the afternoon.
You couldn't swim.
There weren't any more boats coming out. Mm. This one guy said, okay, last call. Who wants to be towed in? And I told him he didn't get towed in. That was the last he'd ever see
of
me.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
So we got towed in.
Yeah, I got towed in
again.
But the thing that's interesting about this story that I don't think any of y'all know about, your dad and I really broke up after he left Hopewell and went to Texas.
Okay.
And I had a very good friend over in Colonial Heights that I went ahead and was dating. Hmm. And his mother had ridden down to Texas with him because she was afraid he wouldn't know how to get there or wouldn't have enough
water.
So she carried jugs of
down
water.
The water.
And Evelyn lived down there because Michael was stationed at the Army post down there.
Why, does she think it was a desert or something?
Yeah.
Okay, Texas.
So she wanted to visit Evelyn.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls me up after about 2 weeks of being there. And wanted, he said, I want to know if you want to come and get married. He said, I'm not going to ask you ever again, but this is the last chance, and if you want to get married.
Wow, how romantic.
And so,
the BOQ was good.
So I said, I'll have to call you back because I've got to talk. I don't know. I got to think about it. So I went to see Grandma Cox.
Mm-hmm.
I told her what happened, and she said, well, Clara, do you love him? And I said, yes. She said, then do what you think you need to do. So I called him back. He said, I'm going to send you a plane ticket. And I left on Monday. My dad took off from work. Tommy took off from work. And Daddy gave me $300. That was a lot of money for my daddy to give me.
Mm-hmm.
And Tommy gave me $100.
Wow.
So I left Virginia with $400, never been on a plane in my life, never been out of the state, I don't think.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I had, but not very far. And so I said, I got on the plane that day and arrived there. And you have to see the chaplain and be, you know,
right,
counseled. So the two of us visited the chaplain. And we talked to all of our David's friends there who had gone there from Annapolis. And some of them were close friends. And asked them if they would be in our wedding. And Evelyn was my matron of honor. And Michael gave me away.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever they asked Michael about giving me away, he would say, I sure didn't want her.
He was the sweetest
person. So anyway, I made my dress. I went to a material shop on Tuesday, bought my material and made my dress and my veil and everything for the wedding.
Wow.
I washed your car that day too.
Oh, good. Okay, good. The convertible? No.
No, I don't know.
So what was your wedding day like? What was that day like in Texas?
That was him. He was so relaxed. He washed the car and waited till the last minute to get dressed and all.
Oh, my uniform. We got married under this swords.
Yeah.
We came out under the swords.
Mm-hmm.
We went out to a restaurant called the Teepee House.
Okay.
It was a bunch of tents.
It was a steak place, and the steaks fell off the plate they were
serving. They charcoaled them right there.
Yeah, this was in Texas. So
wow. They hung over the edge of the plate.
Steak.
Wow.
And we had they ordered a bottle of champagne. And every time we turned around, Mama, his name was Mama, was drinking champagne. And finally, David looked at her and said, Mama, why are you drinking all that champagne? So Claire and David can't drink and get drunk.
She was so funny.
Sacrifice for
us. Absolutely.
I mean, I correct that. It was Clarice.
Clarice.
I can never say my name. Mm-hmm. It was Clarice and David. I don't want them to drink.
That's so funny.
Actually, the reason I married Claire, the BOQ was kind of lonesome. And Mama said, David, why don't you call Claire and marry up with her? I said, okay, I will.
So where did y'all have your honeymoon?
We didn't take one because...
He had just reported in there and wouldn't be there
but 3 months.
Okay, okay.
And so we thought at some point we could take a honeymoon.
And then where were you stationed next?
South Virginia Air Force Base.
No.
No. Scottsfield.
And that's in
Illinois.
Right
St. Louis.
St. Louis.
Scottsville.
And when did y'all end up in Germany then? That was 50 that you married.
I went to school to Scottsville for 1 year.
Okay.
And then I ended up, as I told you, number one in my class.
Right.
They gave me
they
my
sent
choice.
You your choice so of career or Germany. Germany. Yeah. Or Vietnam. You said Vietnam or Germany.
No, Korea
or Germany.
That was Korean War.
Right. Okay, so share some lessons you've learned from your relationship.
Go ahead.
I've learned that, yes, ma'am.
Shoot. I think you've learned while you're up.
Yeah.
You've while learned that
up.
One.
While you're up. Give me this, that, and the other. Now, Claire's been a good wife all her life. She's been very good. She waited on me. She waited on y'all. And she sold and made all y'all's clothes and everything. She got a big write-up on Hope and News about winning the sewing contest in Hopewell. Mm. And she made everybody's clothes, and she was active in the women's club and all the other activities.
Main
and man. I was active when I got out of service for 15 years, from 1960 to 1975. I was active in all the civic communities. I was chairman of the school board, the Housing Redevelopment Authority, Planning Commission, Zoning Board, you name it. I participate in all the community activities to serve Hopewell.
So it sounds like community service was a big
forte
in both of y'all.
That's right, yeah.
Y'all's life.
And me.
Yep.
And that was it.
Well, here's my side of the story. I really married a family.
Mm-hmm.
And I had wanted to stay in the service. I liked it. I liked travel. I liked meeting new people. And David wasn't. And then we had children. And he felt that children shouldn't be moved around.
Mm-hmm.
So he was being groomed to become a general in the Air Force when they sent him to Maxwell Field for 3 months training. And I was also groomed because they wanted to make sure the wife could make a good general's wife.
Mm-hmm.
And we came back to Blacksburg to finish out that tour. And his mother was taken ill with cancer and wasn't expected to live. So we came home almost every weekend.
Wow.
And in doing that, he decided he wanted to come back and live in Hopewell.
Mm-hmm.
So he went out, he had an opportunity. This was very interesting because...
Okay.
It's interesting how we really ended up back here in Hopewell, because you couldn't just get out of the service at will. But this particular time, they were given an opportunity to resign your commission.
Mm.
So he went to Langley and resigned his commission, went out to Fort Lee and immediately had a job with civil service. And that's when we moved back here to Hopewell. And first we lived and we rented a little house on Day Street, and then we found the home we live in now, which wouldn't be vacant for like 3 or 4 months. So we went and lived with his brother Jimmy, and we lived there until we moved into this house.
Tell them about not being able to buy the house.
And when he applied to buy this house, we called this man, Nephew. He worked out of Richmond, and he was a financial advisor, and he looked at our finances, and he said, "You can't buy that house if you don't make enough money." And he said, "Well, what can I do?" And he said, "Just get another job, a night job, whatever." So he applied for the teaching job at Fort Lee. Mm-hmm. That was with the school in Florida.
Florida
Institute of Technology, night school. And he went out there and worked so we could make enough money to buy this house.
Mm. Wow.
When I retired at Fort Lee, I did make Brigadier General in the Civil Service.
Okay.
I had 4 colonels working for me.
Okay.
I was GS-15, equivalent of Brigadier General.
Wow. So, what are the keys to a strong relationship?
Well, I think a lot of it is you have to want to make it work.
Mm.
People think different things make it work. The biggest thing of all is that you want it to work.
Mm-hmm.
That was number one with me. I wanted a family, and I wanted to be a stable. I wanted to have a long-lasting relationship with my husband, and I made it work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to want it to work.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been married 68 years. I don't even know anybody that old. So it obviously worked.
But they're, you know, don't make any mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
They don't make any mistakes. It had its bumps and grinds, just like every other marriage. And it was a constant working at it and continuing to want it to work. It was not easy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I first came back here, as far as I was concerned, I married the whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a big family, and I loved him. But a lot of the times, it was very difficult. But I was happy and glad that I did survive it.
Mm-hmm.
And I took care, as it turns out, all my brothers and ancestors as they aged.
Right.
And he helped me take care of my sister Shirley. He would have cared for my family just like he did his own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.